1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
We illustrated that yesterday with round one of the letters.
What stood out to you yesterday? I wasn't here. I missed
the
round.
Well, the quickest story was a couple was told to arrive at 1 o'clock for dinner. They got there at 10:02. They walked in just in time to watch the dad pull the ham out of the oven and throw it directly into the garbage.
Got more food throwing today.
Whoa!
We had a dad fall off a ladder.
Yeah,
teeth on the driveway.
Oh. I got a roof tumble today.
Oh.
We had grandma mail all the Christmas presents to a young woman to give to her brother. None for her.
None for her.
Please give these all these to your brother.
She entered something in the bad grandparents.
I was going to say that qualifies for.
So.
All right, here's the warm-up. Christmas Eve 1979, I was 4 years old, and we had gathered at my aunt and uncle's for our Christmas Eve tradition. After dinner and gift opening, my cousins and I went down to their rec room to play. Rec room had a couch, TV, pool table, and a bar with swiveling stools that were bolted to the floor.
Bolted to the floor?
Just like a real bar. That would have been fun.
Huh.
About 6 feet behind the bar stools was a large metal support pole. As a three-year-old, I decided it would be fun to spin around on the stools. After much spinning and gathering a substantial amount of momentum, I flew off the stool headfirst into the pole. Woke up to a lot of yelling and a large amount of blood on the floor. Quick trip to the ER with my mother holding a towel soaked, a blood-soaked towel on my head resulted in 34 stitches.
Ooh.
Along the back and top of my head. We were not allowed to play downstairs without adult supervision again.
Remember when you wrecked that last year? Now we can't even do that.
34 stitches in that little three-year-old head.
That had to look really,
garish.
Here's a Hanukkah story.
Nice. Excellent.
I think it's our first one.
I don't think we get many. Yeah, I was going to say, we don't get many of these.
It was the first Hanukkah at the new apartment.
Shalom.
And it was last Thursday. I hadn't made the brisket in a crock pot. I made the brisket in the crock pot, and all the sides were set, but hadn't made the latkes. For those not in the know, it's a potato pancake that is fried in oil. We didn't want to stink up the kitchen by frying inside, so I decided to set up a plastic folding table on the balcony with my camp stove and a cast iron skillet.
Well, thinking, trying, trying.
First batch turned out great, and I set them on the cooling rack. Then I added the second batch to the oil and stepped inside for more wine.
Oh, no.
When I opened the door to step back onto the balcony, the table collapsed, which caused the camp stove and skillet full of oil and latkes to fall. I lunged for the skillet and caught it in my hands, which was a mistake.
Red hot. It caused
considerable burns and swear words. I dropped the skillet and watched it as it bounced from the balcony to my car below. As I swore more, I watched the skillet break through the sunroof and land on the back seat. Ran downstairs and opened the garage door and got to my car. The pan had burned a hole in the back seat, and there was oil, potatoes, and broken glass everywhere. We opted for mashed potatoes. I'll never get that smell out. Everlasting oil backfire.
All you wanted was a couple of latkes.
That might have totaled your car right there.
Yeah.
Get a good insurance agent to write that off.
Farmers.
Come on.
We've seen it all.
Yes. Tell them.
Christmas Eve, 1974. My brother was home from the Army, having been stationed in Alaska. Some months earlier, he had sent home his dog. Blue was a 9-month-old shepherd husky mix, and he had rescued it from an abusive owner.
Good deed.
It was hoped Lady, our 14-year-old shepherd, would be a calming influence. They shared a small foam mattress in the corner of the dining room. Following Christmas Eve services, our family returned home. I rode my brother in one car, and our parents followed. My brother was ahead of me as he opened the front door. Once open, my brother took one step in and quickly backed out, slamming the door shut.
Don't go in there.
Wait here, he said.
How horrible is this going
to
be?
Our parents arrived. My brother calmly walked to their car, opened the door for my mother, and offered her his arm to escort her to the house. Mother instantly knew something was amiss, but kept silent.
Yeah, yeah.
Father followed, grumbling, "Now what the hell?"
Father was right.
My brother led us through the front door. Mother groans. Every surface in the living room and dining room was covered with a fine white powder. Blue had found a large plastic bottle of baby powder, making it her new chew toy. There was powder on the rug, the furniture, the tree, the mantle, the dining room table that had been set for Christmas dinner. Mixed in with the powder was golf ball-sized pieces of foam.
Yep.
Lady lay on what was left of her bed with a very forlorn look on her face. Father immediately grabbed a newspaper and advanced on Blue to render punishment. She thought it was a game until he cornered her.
Baby powder. Wait,
what year was this? 74. Four.
Yeah.
There's baby powder right there in that house to this day.
Here we go. 74 again. Christmas Eve, 1974. As a six-year-old boy, my uncle every year would dress up as Santa and deliver presents, usually by pulling the sled with presents up onto the deck.
Santa was pulling the sled?
Apparently. This year, though, he told the adults that he was going to make it extra special. After a few hours and several Manhattans, he disappeared until we heard stamping on the roof. All the kids ran to the patio to see Santa deliver presents. As we are rushing to the window, we hear a big thud, followed by a skidding sound. And then, to our horror, Santa cartwheeling through the air, smashing his side on the railing of the deck, crashing through the railing and hitting the edge and disappearing below. A room full of traumatized children watched as the ambulance took Santa to the hospital with four broken ribs and a busted femur.
Jim, is someone on the roof?
No.
Maybe it's got the gift of losing the magic of Christmas that year.
Someone
still didn't break as
kids.
Many ribs as Drew Brees.
Broke a femur.
Yeah, but Drew Brees, 13 broken ribs.
Having divorced parents always meant having two Christmases. My sisters and I were always excited to head to my dad's house because he was mostly an absent father and tried to make up for it Christmas.
Kids know. They know these things.
It was about 1985, and I was 9 years old. We enjoyed being showered with gifts. Afterwards, a great meal prepared by our stepmother. While sitting at the dining room table, I clearly remember Dad looking funny and red-faced. I watched him close his eyes for a few seconds.
That's not good.
Yeah.
When the kids notice that Dad is at the table red-faced with his eyes closed.
Is this some sort of blockage?
Everything okay, Pop?
With his eyes closed, he leaned his head backwards, cleared his sinuses, and then his throat. He took a deep breath and spit out a giant yellow gob onto the front room carpet.
What?
Did he normally do stuff like that?
No normal person does this.
He opened his bloodshot eyes and continued to eat. My stepmom cleaned up the loogie with a napkin without saying a word. We all continued to eat in silence. Mm. It was at that point I realized my dad had a drinking problem.
Oh, wow.
Right, but what did you get for Christmas that year? That's what I wanted to hear. Did he come through?
My girlfriend of about a year invited me to her family's Thanksgiving for the first time. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Girlfriend, Thanksgiving.
He's meeting the new crowd.
Girlfriend.
Yep.
Drinks were flowing and everything was going great. At dinner, a heated discussion broke out between my girlfriend's parents parents, and her aunt about the family business. So that generation, somebody's sister, fathers or mothers. This quickly turned into a screaming match, and I was told this is not uncommon at their holiday dinner.
They do this all the time.
I know. That evening ended with my girlfriend's mother throwing the turkey soup, which was the pride of the aunt's boyfriend, onto the front lawn. While the nanny's boyfriend, who no one knew, was throwing up in the powder room. It wasn't until the following year that we learned that her aunt's boyfriend, the turkey soup...
chef.
Yeah. Secretly retaliated for having his soup thrown onto the lawn. He admitted to peeing in the oil used to deep fry the turkey. My wife's father had unknowingly saved the oil and deep fried another turkey in it a year later.
Didn't separate?
My girlfriend is now my wife, and we're happily married 4 years. We never speak of this evening.
Just for prizes. Honey, I'm just going to do this once more.
That's a
crime. He married into it.
That's a crime.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Are they invited back?
Well, the boyfriend's probably long gone.
They never speak of this evening.
The tinkle boyfriend probably didn't last with the aunt. We don't know.
The turkey soup chef?
What's in the soup?
Wow.
My parents and my aunt and uncle live next door to each other. Okay. My siblings and my cousins were one big family. Holidays were always a big deal, especially Christmas. My mom and aunt's parents lived on the West Coast and would come for the holidays every 3 or 4 years, and we especially looked forward to this. My mom and my aunt were saints who never swore. We never heard swore growing up, and no one was a big drinker except for Grandpa, who liked his Tom Collins.
He's on the West Coast, right? So it's not a big deal.
Christmas Day, especially, he would take his 64-ounce McDonald's cup. Do they make those? Add some ice, fill it nearly full with booze, add a spritz of soda, and pour those from the minute we were done opening presents and then the remainder of the day. By lunch, his teeth were on the table for my cousin to shove in his mouth and run around scaring little kids.
Oh, my God. Billy, put those back.
That's just a sidebar to this story.
Remember when our cousin used to put Grandpa's teeth in every Christmas and run around the house?
Yeah, that is just so nauseating.
And before dinner time, we knew Grandpa wasn't leaving the couch for the rest of the night. The trick was the bathroom was on the second floor. Well, Grandpa got up from the couch and stumbled to the stairs. This had my mom and aunt alert and concerned. Grandpa stumbled up the first few stairs, mumbled something, tripped up on the fifth stair, swore, lay down on the stairs. And violently shat himself. Violently.
I wonder what he mumbled. What did he say just before that?
It's like,
it's coming.
My cousin and I thought this was hilarious until the smell hit us and my saint aunt lost it, spewing out a string of expletives that I wish I had written down to document the day she declared, "You will never be allowed back in my house ever." And that was the last time Grandma and Grandpa came to Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Reasonable.
It's the most
by the mom or aunt or whoever
told me
never coming back.
The kids are watching their grandfather crap himself in a
drunken
haze. Those are your childhood memories.
If
you
just saw Grandpa take his teeth out and set them on the table, that would be enough.
I think so, too.